everybody. Thanks for connecting in with us this morning. As you can see, I've broken out of the conservatory this morning and come to the beautiful surroundings of Clouswood, just for a bit of change of scenery. And I thought the environment might lend itself a little bit to the message this morning. If you've got your Bibles, do you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 12? We're going to be reading from verse 22 this morning down to 34. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been in a series called Encountering Jesus, looking at different encounters that different people had in the Gospel of Luke with Jesus and learning what we can from their encounter for our own relationship, daily encounter with Jesus. And you'll note that some of the encounters that we've looked at have been quite dramatic, like last week when the disciples encounter Jesus, or something of Jesus's glory in the Transfiguration. Well, this week is much more low-key. It's just Jesus chatting with his friends about something that I think is relevant, I'm sure, to nearly all of us, particularly in the times that we are living in. So let's dive into the scriptures and start reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for these words that you spoke thousands of years ago to your friends, but we are believing that by your Spirit you are speaking them to us afresh today. You're speaking them into our lives and into our situations, and I pray that we would have ears to hear this morning and hearts to understand and faith to apply and to follow what it is that you're saying to us. I pray for your help, Holy Spirit, this morning, that you would help me to communicate, Lord, clearly, Lord, what is on your heart for your people, for the glory of your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. So I'm sure many of you are very familiar with this passage, and I'm sure it didn't escape your attention what the main thrust and theme of the passage is either. This morning we're going to be thinking about how we can encounter Jesus in our anxiety. Now, I know that anxiety is something that affects many people in many different ways. I know personally that I have struggled with anxiety at different times, and although I'm not, you know, kind of going to offer up a psychological definition this morning of what anxiety is, when I'm talking about anxiety, and when I think the Bible's talking about anxiety, it's really talking about kind of the fears and the worries and the lack of peace, or the spiritual unease in our hearts about events of today or events of tomorrow. And from my own personal experience, I know that anxiety can manifest itself in various physical ways, whether that's sleepless nights, whether that's higher kind of blood pressure or a racing heart, or just a kind of tension in the body, or a kind of nagging kind of feeling in the pit of our stomach. Anxiety can affect us in lots of different ways, but essentially what anxiety is the intrusion of unwanted thoughts, fears, and worries that weigh us down and rob us ultimately of our joy in God. Now, some people will be more anxious than other people for various different reasons. Some people will have just occasional spikes of anxiety, but generally it not be something they struggle with. But many people live with a kind of constant sense of fear or worry or anxiety. And so this morning we want to be thinking about what are the scriptures have to say to speak into those situations, because anxiety, the truth about anxiety is that it offers us no life. It kind of tantalizes us. You know, if I think about this thing enough, then I might be able to control it, and that might bring me some peace about it. But actually the opposite is true. We see in verse 25 of what we read this morning, Jesus says, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life?" So although we think thinking about things a lot and indulging these kind of intrusive thoughts a lot is actually going to help us, it doesn't help us to grow at all. And if you've suffered or suffer with anxiety or experienced those a sustained period of anxious thoughts, you'll know that actually they do the very opposite to grow us. They shrink us. Anxiety shrinks our soul because it robs us of what is rightfully ours in Jesus. And so I want us to ask the question right at the beginning, you know, is this God's heart for us? What does the passage say? In verse 22, right at the top, Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on." So it's very clear from what Jesus says here that God's heart is that his people would not be anxious, you know, and that theme is repeated in various other passages, famously in Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious about anything. God's heart is for his people not to be anxious. Our inheritance as children of God is one of peace, not one of anxiety. Anxiety doesn't come from God, and yet we struggle, don't we? Yeah, we know that it's we shouldn't worry. We know that we shouldn't fear. We know that we shouldn't be anxious about anything. We know that God is in control, all these different things, and yet we struggle. I know that I still struggle often with anxious thoughts. We know that we are both spirit and flesh, and there's this kind of war against us between kind of what we know to be true and yet the reality of trying to live that out in our daily lives. And yet Jesus says, don't be anxious. And so if Jesus says to his disciples and he says to us, don't be anxious, I want to trust Jesus. I want to be able to follow Jesus. I want to be able to believe that when Jesus says something, it means something. And that when Jesus says something, it is true, and it can be my experience as well. I want to trust Jesus ultimately and not trust my emotions. Dallas Willard said of our emotions that they make great servants but terrible masters. And the reality is, for many of us, we struggle with anxiety because actually we allow ourselves to be mastered by our emotions rather than have our emotions serve us, and rather than being mastered by the truth of who God is and what God says and who we are now in God. So how do we progress then? How do we progress in this kind of daily battle between wanting to trust God and trust in his goodness and his provision and his faithfulness, and yet struggling with these thoughts and these fears and these worries and anxieties? And I believe that the passage gives us two things that can help us kind of progress in this area. The first is by having a right vision for our life. And the second is by knowing our value before God. So we're just going to be thinking a little bit about those two things this morning. I feel like I've got ants crawling up my nose, so apologies for scratching my nose. Suddenly this doesn't seem like such a very good idea to be out in nature. Anyway, let's think about the first of those things, having the right vision for our lives. To help us really get the most out of this passage, we've got to understand the context into which Jesus is speaking. And just before he says these things to his disciples, he has told A parable which in your Bibles is probably called the parable of a rich fool, and we won't read it all now, but essentially it's about a guy who is already very wealthy and yet has a kind of bumper harvest, but instead of kind of giving away what he doesn't need, he basically builds these massive storehouses for all of his kind of bumper crops, and then he goes brilliant, essentially goes fantastic, I've got all this stuff now, I can just relax, I can eat, drink, be merry, because I've got all this security. And then basically God says to him, well, actually, that's not true, because your life is required of you now, and he dies. And so Jesus has just told this story, which is essentially, you know, don't put your trust and your security in earthly possessions, because they promise you a security that doesn't exist. They promise you a peace that isn't the reality. So this is what the rich fool says to himself in verse 19. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He's saying to himself, I've got everything I need so I can be at peace, and yet it's a false security, because the very next verse, he dies. And often our anxiety comes from the fact that we are putting out our hope or seeking peace in things that will never be able to fulfill on that promise. They're empty promises. We've got a wrong vision for our life. And this is teed up a little bit earlier in the parable of the rich fool, where in verse 15, Jesus says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Okay, so Jesus is teeing up the parable with this very clear statement, saying be careful to guard against looking at what other people have, okay, because one's life does not consist, your life is not fulfilled in the abundance of your possessions. And then as we read in verse 22, Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And I think what Jesus is basically trying to say is, your life is about more than just the external stuff. It's more than about just the possessions and the stuff that surrounds us. So don't be anxious about these things, because your life is worth so much more than these things. And it's interesting, isn't it, that often the things that we get anxious about are the more external things. And the reason that we get anxious about them is because we have subtly put our security in them. We've subtly put our trust and our hope in them. We've believed the lie that having all of this stuff is what life is all about. We've believed the lie that having all of this stuff will provide us happiness or comfort or peace. And yet our actual experience is totally the opposite of this. It's interesting to me, and I don't know if this has ever been your experience, but I know in my own experience that often the desire for more things, and even the accomplishment or the receiving of more things, doesn't increase my peace. It actually increases my anxiety. So I find, for example, that I am more anxious about my money and less generous when I've got more money in the bank. When actually things are difficult and I'm coming to the Lord and I'm asking him for his provision and the bank balance is looking a bit iffy and we're tipping over into the red and I'm leaning into him, I find I'm not really that worried about it at all, because I don't have it. And actually I'm not therefore hoarding it. I'm not building my kind of metaphorical storehouses. I'm not putting my trust in it. I'm putting my trust in the Lord. And yet as soon as I kind of, you know, have a season where for whatever reason some more money comes in, suddenly I'm checking the bank balance a bit more regularly, suddenly I'm thinking, oh, should we buy this or should we buy that, I find I'm less generous and I'm more anxious, even though I've got more stuff. And the world promises me it won't be that way around. The world promises me I'll be secure if I feel like I've got that stuff, and yet my experience is not the same. I don't know if that's true for you as well. And so Jesus says, don't put your trust in those things, don't put your security in those things, don't be anxious, don't pursue that wrong vision for your life, which is all stuff based, possession based, security in those things, but rather seek the right vision for your life. And so he says in verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. And this is linking back into where the rich man built his big storehouses for security. And yet Jesus is saying, think about the ravens for a second. I mean, how often do you think about the ravens? Maybe all of us should think about the ravens a little bit more. But he's saying, think about the ravens. They're not building storehouses. This rich guy thought he was really wise and clever because he built a storehouse, and he thought that would, oh, there we go, my notes. He thought that would offer him security. The ravens, that are just, they're just birds, they're not doing that. They don't worry about where their food is coming from, because God provides everything that they need. And so if we're not supposed to kind of put our security in earthly things, if we're not trying to seek peace from earthly things, if we're not supposed to build storehouses for us, what is it then that we should be seeking? Well, we see if we work our way down the passage to verse 31, some famous verses here. Jesus says, instead, seek his kingdom, God's kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So Jesus is saying, don't seek after all of these earthly things, and don't worry about all of these earthly things that tie yourself in knots and that you get all anxious about, but rather seek God's kingdom. And the second part of that is important, you know, and these things will be added to you. So it's not saying that you don't need any of this stuff. It's not saying that it's totally unimportant. It's just saying, don't put your hope in these things. Don't pursue these things above everything else. Rather, seek Jesus first and his kingdom and his kingship, his reign and rule over your life. And there's a clue, isn't there, to how we combat anxiety, how we can walk through life without being anxious, is by seeking and setting our eyes and our hearts upon the kingship of Jesus in our lives and over all things. That is where our peace will be found. But we've got to believe that what Jesus offers us in his kingdom is better than anything that the world can offer us. And that's what it says in verse 32. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Now again, that's linking back into the decisions made by the rich man in the parable, who didn't sell his possessions, but rather stored them up. But Jesus is saying, don't be like him. No, sell your possessions, sell what you don't need, give to the needy, bless others, be generous, provide for yourself a money bag that does not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. And that's the point, that all earthly treasure ultimately fails. All earthly treasure ultimately doesn't fulfill. So therefore, what's the purpose in seeking after something that's not going to last, and that's not going to satisfy, and that's not going to be able to fulfill on the promise that it gives to you? Rather, seek after the one who can satisfy your soul. Seek after the treasure that's never going to fade. Seek after Jesus himself. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, our anxieties actually reveal where our treasure is. Think about that for a moment. Okay, the things that we worry about, okay, are an indication of the things that are most important to us. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Some of those things are really good things. Okay, if you worry about your family, okay, that's not, your family is a good thing, it's a good gift from God. But you see what I'm saying here is the things that the causes of our anxieties tend to be the things that we treasure the most. So if we're worried about, I don't know, a certain meeting at work, or having to have a difficult conversation with somebody that's going to be a bit confrontational, and we're finding ourselves anxious about that, it's probably an indication that one of the treasures of our hearts is the approval of people, or people thinking well of us, or being popular. If we find ourselves worried about being sick or being unwell and about our health, then one of our treasures is probably our health, or being in control of our health. If we find ourselves worrying about money, or, you know, our car, or our holiday, or our possessions, or whatever it is, then and one of our treasures is probably comfort. Do you see what I'm saying there? And so ultimately, all of us are left with a choice about what treasure are we going to pursue? And do we really believe that the treasure that Jesus offers us, which is life in Him, peace in Him, security in Him, is better than the things that the world promises we can find those things in? And the reality is that peace is only found in Jesus when we fix our eyes and our hearts on Him. Isaiah 25, verse 3 says this. He says, it's 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. How do we walk in perfect peace? By keeping our mind stayed upon Jesus, and by trusting in Him, and by having a vision for our life, which is not about our own kind of building our own earthly comfort or security, but is about finding those things in Jesus and looking to Him to be fulfilled. So that's the first way that we can combat anxiety, by having the right vision for our life. And the second way that we can combat anxiety is by knowing our value before God. So we read in verse 24, we'll read it again. It says, consider the ravens, those ravens again. Oh, my notes are going again. Windy day. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse, this is going well. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. I'm just going to tear these off. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the ravens? Okay? Now this is a thought that Jesus has started in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 12 of Luke's gospel, where again, in the context of not fearing, he says this. Are not five sparrows? So we've moved from, well, we started with sparrows and then we go to ravens, okay? So are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than the sparrows. And the reality is often we can struggle with anxiety, and the root of that struggle is because we just don't feel valued by God. We don't believe that we are valued by God. We feel like we've been forgotten. I know for some of you watching this morning that you, in what you're experiencing on a kind of from all you can see of your life and your experience, are struggling to hold on to the truth that God is with you, and you are believing that actually He has forgotten you, or He is not very interested in you, or He is distant from you. And yet Jesus tells us in the passage that we've been looking at that God is an attentive God. He's attentive to the sparrows. He's attentive to the ravens. He's attentive to the lilies. And Jesus' point is, if the Father is attentive to these things, these small things that He has made, to birds and to flowers, how much more attentive is He going to be to your needs? If He doesn't overlook the needs of those small things, why do you think He is going to overlook the needs of one of His children? You see, we need to remind ourselves that God, in His creative power, has uniquely fashioned each and every one of us in His image, and we are therefore of incredible worth and value to Him. Even though we're broken, even though we're messed up, we're made in His image, made to reflect His glory, and therefore we are incredibly valuable to Him. So you need to hear that this morning if you struggle with anxiety because you don't feel like you have any worth or value. You will never find worth or value from external things, from other people's opinions, from earthly achievements. You will never find it in any positive thinking about yourself, okay? You will never find it in accepting yourself. That's a lie of the world, to just accept yourself, okay? And then just validate yourself, and then you will feel fulfilled and full of worth and value. That is not true. Worth and value can only come from one place, and that is the person who made you, which is God himself. He made you in his image, and your worth and value comes from the love that he bestows upon you. And if you don't believe me, let's just turn briefly again to a famous passage in Psalm 139. And many of you will know this well, but it's so worth just taking a few moments to look at some of these verses. Psalm 139, verse 13 says this, says, "For you," that's God, "formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." You knitted me together, okay? That's not like you just threw some like paint at a canvas, or you just chucked some stuff together in a pot and mixed it around and see what would come out. No, no, you knitted me together, okay? I don't do knitting, but I've seen people who do knitting, and it is an intricate process that takes time and attention, and that is how God made you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. The psalmist goes on and says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven." There it is again, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. And here's verse 16, okay? And this is a bit of a mind-blowing verse, okay? Listen to this. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance," okay? Your eyes saw my unformed substance. God saw you before you were even made. Just think about that, right? God knew you before you were even made. "In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." So God had determined your number of days before you had even had one day. Okay? You are of incredible worth and value to God. He knows you intimately. Going back to that passage in Luke chapter 12, it talks about Jesus, the Father, knowing the number of hairs upon your head. Now for me, maybe that's not too impressive. Don't have that much hair these days, but maybe you've got a lot of hair. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. He knows what you need before you even ask. So he doesn't just know you, but he knows what you need. Verse 30 says this, "For all," this is back in Luke 12, "for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them." Okay, do you believe that? Do you believe that your Father knows what you need? But sometimes the challenge for us is trusting that what God says we need is the best thing for us, not necessarily what we think that we need. And that can be a challenge, that can be a tension point, can't it? You know, often our anxiety springs from the fact that God doesn't seem to be doing the things that we want him to do. Saying, "Lord, if you just did this, if you just did this, then everything would be okay. If you just gave me this, then I would be at peace." And yet that's not necessarily what we need. And so the question for us is, will we trust God that he knows better than us? Will we trust God with our lives, even when it looks like it doesn't make sense to us? I read a quote yesterday from a guy called Philip Yancey, who said, "Faith is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse." Faith is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. It's looking at our life, it's looking at our situation, it's looking at our circumstance, looking at whatever it is that might be causing you fear or worry or anxiety, saying, "Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to trust that it's going to make sense one day, even if it doesn't make sense now." See, ultimately, knowing that you are valued comes from knowing that you are loved. Okay, you are loved by the King of Kings. You are loved by the Creator of the universe. And you might hear that this morning and go, oh yeah, I know that. I know I'm loved. No, no, no. You are loved. And you might hear that this morning and go, I don't think I am loved. I don't see how I can be loved. You don't know what I've done. My whole life is kind of a bit of a mess. You know, you are loved. Okay, it doesn't matter how messed up you are loved. Doesn't matter how much of a high achiever you think you are either. You are loved. And what's the evidence of God's love for you? It is the cross. It is that God sent his only son. Why? Because he loved the world. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his only son to die as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We've been listening in the car as a family to this Wren Collective kids album, and there's a song on the album called The Story of the Cross. Okay, and it's got the lyrics, I'm going to try to remember them now, something like, when we were at our very worst, Jesus gave his very best and died for us. And it proceeds that by saying, this is how the Father loves us. I've probably totally butchered those lyrics, but you get the sense of the idea. This is how we know how much God loves us. Romans 5:8 says, in this we know the love of God, that even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. God knows and knew that we were messed up, and yet he loved us so much that he sent his son to deal with all of our mess on the cross and offer us new life in him, new meaning in him, a new start in him, a new purpose in him, satisfaction in him, fulfillment in him. This is the story of the cross. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these words. I thank you that you're the only one, Lord, who can bring us peace. You're the only one who can free us from fear. You're the only one, Lord God, who can free us from worry and anxiety. And so I want to pray for everybody watching this morning and anybody who may struggle with this or may be struggling with anxiety this morning. Lord, I want to pray that you would just lift their eyes and their heart to you, and that you, Lord God, would just reorientate their minds. Lord God, renew their minds today with the truth, Lord, that they are loved by you, that they are valued by you, that they are cherished by you, that you died for them to show them how much you love them, that they can have a hope in you and a peace in you. But I pray, Lord, that the vision for their lives will be to seek you first, trusting that all else, everything else we need will be given to us. But the thing that we really need, the one that we really need, is you, Jesus. There's no other substitute for you. Everything else that we try to substitute in, Lord, for you to find satisfaction and security, it doesn't work. I pray you break the lie, Lord God, over our lives where we've believed that if we'll just have this or just have that, then we'll feel fulfilled or then we'll feel satisfied, or if we could just control this or control that, then we'll feel at peace. It's now nonsense. None of it's true. You are the Prince of Peace. You, Lord, are the God of peace who brings us peace at all times and in every way, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the one that we need to look to. And so I pray, Lord, that we would set our hearts and minds, stay our minds upon you and find peace in you and freedom in you. I ask this in Jesus' precious name today. Amen.